Present yourself before God, no matter your situation. Present yourself before God's word. You find out your life begins to change. I'm a testimony to the fact that God's word can change a man's life, change a man's destiny, change a man's fortune, change a man, whatever has been said about you, just present yourself to God. I want to say to the young ones amongst us here, value God's word, respect it, come before it. You know, coming to me with Bible study, yeah, is difficult. I can say that to you. It's tough. I was struggling with sleep. I was praying. You know, I'm human, but I must come. Praise God. I must come. So when you come, gradually, God's word will begin to change you from the inside. It will reflect on the outside. You know, I'm bothered about a generation of believers that use small, small excuses not to come to church. You know, little, small, small excuses. They won't come to church. But they can go to party. You know, those excuses will disappear if it were a party, if it were a dinner, you know, if it were another kind of gathering. You know, they present themselves. But when it comes to God's word, which is able to give us hope, which is able to, you know, change our destiny, you know, we run away from it. I want to thank you, congratulate you for coming, and I want to continue to encourage you, come. Come. That's the way we develop as Christians. You know, when Stone Church started, it used to be Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. It's Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. But gradually, you know, the wahala of this world, first of all, we reduce it to Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Wahala of this world, we reduce it to Wednesday and Sunday. You know, I hope nothing will happen. And if I have not for struggle and fight, Wednesday self for don't turn online. You know, for don't turn online. I say we are busy, road is busy, fuel is expensive. You know, we come. Online is not in the Bible. If online would have been in the Bible, would have seen online service. You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation? You know what the Bible says? He wrote to seven churches. Those seven churches, they have addresses. They have where they meet. And it talks about seven candlestick. And it talks about God in the middle of the seven candlestick. You know those grammar, you know grammar that we give ourselves, and then you know it will be convenient. We settle for the excuses, you know, and say, yes, the times are tough. The times are tough. Which time is tougher than the time of Paul and the apostles? When this one we are free to preach, you know, we dance. In those there are times. Where is freedom? They said, you people are not preaching in that name. If we catch you preaching that name again, who is doing that here? They understand you preach, you know. So you say time are hard. Times were hard at that time. What makes time to be hard now is our greed. Lack of satisfaction. Or kanjua. You know, I want to become 20. I want to become 40. That's what makes life tough now. That time, life is tough. Because of righteousness. But this one, life is tough because of our righteousness and greed. And the board in our eyes. Oju kokoro. That's what made that. So, ladies and gentlemen, break from that. God's word can change a man's destiny. I tell you that. Just listen to it. Just you begin to see that you are changing gradually. And that's why the Bible calls it ancient words. You know what it means? There's no edition. There's no revised edition. There's no review. It's not subject to Senate and the House of... Let's see in context. Do you understand? Let's see God's word in 2024 in context. something like that. That's what they called ancient words. You know? God will bless you and God will help you. So I'll start from where I said I will start. So I haven't forgotten. But I will not start from there. I will start from there because I promise you that that's where I will start from. Isn't it? But I will not start from there because I want to start from there. So turn your Bibles. 1 Samuel 1:27. Praise God. 1 Samuel 1:27. See what the Lord says here. You know, I said to Ross, you know, I want to start from here before I go to John 16:24, actually. Like I said, I've started having responses from last week, and I'm glad, you know, somebody got to know that I was not in town and said, will I make Bible study? I said, don't worry, I made Bible study. And the person started dancing, you know. So, because someone was saying, okay, what of if you ask and God answered in another way, you know, something like that. I don't want to open my phone. I would have just read exactly the way that thing was sent to me. But I want to say this to you. I just follow this series. You will get the total package. But you see, and that's why I want to start from 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child, I prayed. That's what's in the Bible. For this child, I prayed. And the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Now, look into your Bible and see, number one, for this I, not somebody. He said, this is the evidence of my prayer, this child. So, I knew I asked for this child, I, not a group of intercessors. So, in other words, there was no confusion about this result I'm seeing. You know that if you left your prayer and your desires in the hand of certain prophet, certain prayer warriors, you know that when result comes, you might not be sure because you did not even know what they were praying for. You remember what happened? Apostles, they gathered together and they were praying that they should not kill a disciple. And then disciple, when he came eventually, and one of them said, it's at the door. They said, it can never happen. So what were they praying for? Did you get that? What were they praying for? You know, was it that some of them were actually praying that they should just put him in first-class prison? Was it possible that some were saying that he must not be killed? Was it possible that some were praying that he should just escape? Because if you are praying that he should not be killed, he should be released. And when you see the person and say, Kole John. Do you understand? Say, he must be a ghost. So what are you praying for? You know, so when you leave your prayer in the hands of them, that's why you might not be sure. So me, I pray. He said, this child is what I pray. And the Lord, he knew that he prayed to the Lord. Praise God. He did not pray to a Yemoja. He did not pray to a prophet. He said, to the Lord. And it was obvious, you know, that when he was praying, there was a certain prophet, you know, that was saying that, what were you doing? You know, he said, I'm having communion with my God. So, this is an evidence of what he did, she did actually, and said, the Lord had given me my, so I pray, my petition, which I ask. The burden of prayer, you see, the first thing I want you to see here, the burden of prayer is on you. It's not on me. They say, Pastor, pray for us. Mm-mm. Don't abandon, don't abdicate, don't relegate, you know, your own responsibility to some other people. See what the man said. In fact, when she was going, the Bible never said that she went to the prophet. This certain time, when he was praying before this child was given, she was actually praying and the prophet saw. So, The responsibility of praying and having answers to prayer is a believer's responsibility. It's not a pastor's responsibility. I can agree with you. You know, I hope I'll be able to get us to see different kinds of prayer. prayer of faith, intercessory prayer, prayer of petition. You know, we get there about 7 to 10 of them. But who prays? You have to be the one praying. Number two that I want you to see here, like I said from last week, the woman was able to say, this is what I pray for. So when you are praying, what are you praying for? You know that it's possible for you to be praying and not actually know what you are praying for. Very, very possible. You don't believe it? Hands the people from where I came from. Oluwase, 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 Oluwase. Do you understand? We pray that kind of prayer here when Pastor William was leading us. God, take power from them. Eh? Power change and. Power change and from where to where? Pastor Williams, where's power changing hand from? Where's power change? Do you understand that? So, those kind of prayers are non-specific prayers. And that is why you cannot, when you answer, say, this I pray for. You can only say that I thank God for his mercy. More of the thing we receive, we should just say, I thank God for his mercy. So, when you pray, you are specific in prayer because this is an example of specificity in prayer. Like I gave an example last week, and I want to repeat that example now because it's very true. I'm going to get us to see, you know, why I'm giving you and I'm insisting on that kind of an example. When you pray for a black bag and say, Father, and so when you're going to pray, you need a bag. The way to pray is, God, I need a black pouch, or what do you call this? A cross bag, a black leather cross bag. That's prayer. So, when I come in and I said, oh, I have a gift for you, and I get you a red cross bag. Listen, that is not the answer to your prayer. That is not, because what I pray for is a black leather crossbar. So, what mostly or likely had happened when I had green or blue is Ephesians 3:20. Unto him that is able to do abundantly, much more. So, might be much more. But you know what happened? The moment I have a bag, it's like a bag is a bag. Let's be going. It's likely that you are going to have another one. Because I haven't received. You can't say, if you got a red instead of a black, can you say, like this woman said, you said it, you've lied. Did you get that? If you said it, you lied. Because that wasn't what you asked God for. You asked God for a red. You got a green. You understand that? Then you continue trusting. I'll get us to that level. You understand? I'll teach us to that level. You continue until you have that. Do you understand that? You know, that's a way to be able to say, like Anna said, this child I prayed for. And that's when we can think that I have answers, you know, to my prayer. That is the bother that I want to leave in your brain. That's what I want you to continue to think about. You know, that is what I want you to worry about. Do you understand that? How can I pray for a pair of shoe, and then when I receive a pair of boots, is not yet what I'm asking for. When I ask for a boot, I must get a boot. When I ask for a pair of shoes, I must get a pair of shoes. That is when that prayer has been answered. Except something will happen along the way, I will change that prayer point. Don't forget I said to us last week, I said two ways that God responds to our prayers. His kindness, His sovereignty. And that are most of the time, it's actually the sovereignty of God that we enjoy. The other one is God actually answering our prayers. So you find that we enjoy His mercy, we enjoy His goodness, His kindness. You have even things that you don't pray for. We give God the glory. But this teaching is not about all those. This teaching is about you. You making petition and you receiving the petition that you made. We talk about the sovereignty and the Bible study. So this is about, you know, being specific. So let's go to John 16 that I said I'm going to start from. John 16, 24. And I'm going to make some points very quickly. And then we go home. It's going to be a little here, a little there. John 16. And so what the Bible says here, it's at all. Have ye asked nothing? I read this on Sunday, and I'm going to read on Sunday. It's at all. Have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. 23. More specific. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, so you are asking the Father in the name of Jesus, Father will give it you. Did you see that? Look into your Bible. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, you are asking the Father. You are not asking Jesus. You are asking the Father in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Holy Mary. Not in the name of His Highness. Not in the name of His Holiness. In the name of Jesus. Now again, not for Jesus' sake. Are you here tonight? Not for Jesus' sake. You ask, there's a difference asking for the sake of Jesus and asking in the name of Jesus. He said, the Father will give it you that your joy may be full. Let me shock us. Let me tell you the three reasons or some reasons, I mentioned three, why God answers prayer. Even though you are the beneficiary of an answered prayer, you are not the reason for God answering the prayer. Can I repeat that? Even though you are the beneficiary of an answered prayer, you are not the reason why God answered the prayer. You are the beneficiary because we can see from this text, the Bible says, so that your joy may be full. You are the beneficiary. When you have an answered prayer, your joy surely will be full. There will be rejoicing. There will be gladness. Praise God. You know, there will be a change in the family. There will be a change in your look and all. So you have the beneficiary. But why God answered that prayer is not because of you. Praise the Lord. So three reasons that God answers prayer. Number one, God answers prayer because of Jesus. That's the first part I want you to see. He answers prayer because of Jesus. Jesus is the man or is the person that God considers when He answers our prayer. It's not you. Because there's nothing in you or that you can present you know, that can make God to answer it. He answers because of Jesus. I'll come back to that. But put that on your left hand. Because I'm going to tie it together with this thought I want to bring in. You see, we make a mistake about prayer a lot. We think prayer, when it said pray or let us pray, the first thing that comes to your head is we want to ask something from God. 9 out of 10, when they say let us pray, it's about I want to ask, I want to make a request. But can I say something to you? Prayer includes request, but prayer is not making request. Prayer, and that's why I want to backpedal from that first point, I get back. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a fellowship. Making request, talking to God about a friend can be part of it. But primarily, prayer is fellowship with God. Genesis 18, I suppose, I want us to read it so that I can begin to see this. In Genesis 18, when God was looking for somebody to have conversation with concerning Sodom. Genesis 18. Oh, good. 18:18. Say that Abraham shall surely become a great, a mighty nation. Okay. 16. And the man rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Genesis 18 from 16. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham sin which I do? Sin. Can you see the way verse 18 started? Sin that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. The nations of the heart shall be blessed in him, for I know him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that were therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the heart do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous without destroying all the city for the lack of 5. And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And then that conversation went on. And verse 33, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. I want you to see here conversation that took place. Some people came and then they left, and Abraham did not go. And it looks like Abraham, sat before God. You know, can I do something? I don't want to offend my friend. How do you offend Abraham? Number one, listen to this. Abraham is a man of covenants. There's a covenant over Abraham. And so because of that covenant, I should not do this thing without having a conversation. Number two, because of trust, because he said, I know that you, that's talking about trust. So because of covenant, because of trust, he said, I don't want to be on the wrong side of Abraham. We must have this conversation. Abraham, I'm going to destroy that land. And Abraham said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy that land. Abraham said, God, why should you do that? You are not an unjust God. You are not an unrighteous God. But they've done wickedly, and I'm going to destroy them. Abraham said, okay, let's do it this way. Father, probably we have 50 righteous. Will you destroy the whole land if we have 50? If I have 50, I will not destroy the whole land. But I haven't found 50. Abraham said, okay, you haven't found 50. What? We have 45. Okay, if we have 45 righteous people, I will not destroy. But look at me. I've looked the land. There are no 45 righteous people. Father, what can we do then? What of if we have faults? Can you see negotiation? Can you see conversation between God and a friend? That is prayer. You know, we think that is until we gbadua ko ri le ko ya ohun re o ti ko ya sili gbadua oluwa o. No, this is just conversation. Now, what is interesting again is when they negotiate 35, you know, and the Bible says that God decided to go, and the Bible says that Abraham too left. You know, the picture I have is like, you know, when they were just having that conversation, and then they got to the door, you know, and God was going, and Abraham said, okay, see you very soon, Baba God. So he left, and Abraham too, you know, departed. Can you see friendship? Can you see relationship? Can you see two people that understand one? God was not saying, you know, I'm talking, you are talking. God is not saying, who are you? I say, I'm going to do something. Like even we hardly people, we do. I say, why are you arguing with me? God was not saying that. He was making point. And God was saying, I heard your point. He's a covenant person of God. It's a man that God trusts. So God was reasoning with Abraham. That reasoning came from position of friendship. It came from position of relationship. Abraham said, was not afraid. And he said before God. No. God said 50. But God said, no, I haven't found 50. So I'm still going to destroy. Abraham said, what about 45? He said, I won't find 45. I'm still going to destroy. He said again, 35, 25, 25. And that was the extent they left it. As though we continue that conversation. So the first thing I want to establish in bringing this to the fore is that prayer is communication between man and God. It is a manifestation of relationship between man and God. Not necessarily that I'm asking for something. I talk about Matthew 6:9 when the apostle said, God teach us how to pray. Where some people, they still pray today. You know, when you finish prayer, I lost prayer. Those people, they don't understand. I lost prayer is not New Testament prayer. Did you get that? It is not New Testament prayer. But why it is critical is that our Lord's prayer shows us the content, what the content of our prayer should be. So when you finish praying, say, our Lord's prayer, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name, a sin. A sin. Last one is just religion. Do you understand that? Because, okay, again, don't let me go there yet. I will link it. Now, the second thing I want you to see in that place, I hope you get this. Let me just say that to you, free of charge. When Abraham was negotiating with God, he was a type of high priest. Do you understand? He was standing between the people and God. But as covenanted, as close as Abraham was to God, he didn't have the tool of negotiation. The best he could do was to say, God, he will find five. So he was using the people as basis of his negotiation. But in the New Testament, people are not the basis of negotiation. Because the ultimate price had been paid. And that's why Sodom and Gomorrah was eventually destroyed. Because Abraham did not have the tool. He did not have what he could present to God, more than God. You should see one righteous person. But ladies and gentlemen, there's no one righteous person. Praise God. There was no righteous person until Jesus came. And that is why Jesus was saying in that court test, he said, "Itato." In other words, before now, you know that Jesus was ready to go back to his Father. So he was saying, "Itato. This is the way you've been praying. Itato, you haven't prayed in my name." Even when he was talking to them, they could not even pray in his name. Do you understand that? So he was getting them ready for the time that he would die. And he will make the ultimate sacrifice. So that says, then, you know, in that day, he was talking to them about, in that day, praise God, you will pray in my name. So now is the Lord's Prayer that you know how to do. Now you can negotiate with God. What, we have 50 people, we have 40 people, we have 30 people. But said, very soon, you will not pray like that any longer. Very soon, you will pray. He said, and in day. So that day will be after my resurrection. Praise God. After my resurrection, that is the day. You will pray in my name. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you have the Father. So that time, when it's coming, all requests will be made to the Father. All fellowships will be made with the Father. And it will be made through me. Because I would have done the sacrifice and I would have become the mediator. I would have become the go-between. So, prayer will no longer be answered because of you or about you, like Abraham was trying to do. He said, no, that's not going to be the basis of God answering prayer any longer. The basis of God answering prayer going forward from then on will be, you pray in my name. So, prayer begins, communion begins when we go through Jesus to the Father. That's when communion begins. You go through Jesus to the Father. That's when communion begins. And that's why, number one, he answers prayer because of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why he answers the prayer because of Jesus. Number two, why God answers prayer. He answers prayer so that he can take glory. That's why he answers prayer. When you see God answer your prayer, it's not because of you. It's not because of anything. It's so that he can have his glory. So he answers your prayer because of Jesus. He answers your prayer so that he can take glory. Number three, he answers your prayers so that his word can be fulfilled. Because prayer or prayers are returning God's word to him. Prayers are not your words. You can begin to see where a lot of prayers go unanswered. Prayers are saying the word of God back to God. That is why, let me put it in another way, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Prayer is confessing the word of God. That's why prayer like, Father, keep my enemy. God will never answer it, because there's nothing like that in the Bible. Power must change hand. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Because power has changed hand since. He render captivity captive. He gave gift to all men. He belong to be give power go to change the hand. Sorry, Pastor Williamson, are you called Samuel? Do you understand that? You know, so you must understand this. Or in another way, that you should not forget. Prayer is saying what God has said. When the Bible says that none shall be barren in the land, who said it? Is it your word? So you go back to God. If I'm looking for the root of the womb, God, you have said, nobody, none shall be barren in the land. God say, so God will answer. Because he has exalted his word above his names. So let me begin to get you ahead into things I begin to teach you probably from next week. The prayer that God answers are his words. So that is why, you know, that person that spoke to me last week said, what of if that, you know, God answered in a way that is not totally what I asked for. And I said, you can say God answer in what you have asked for. Now listen to this. When you want to pray, what is the first step in prayer? The first step in prayer is to say, what I want to pray for, is it in God's word? You see, we make mistakes. When things happen to us, the next thing we do, Father, you know, sometimes you are here to connect your brain with what has happened. That's why you have to say Father 20 times, because while you are saying Father, also, bo ni kin se gbadura you nitori pe bo se nta ola lo se lo sodo baba God. Do you understand that? So you say, Father. Ah, Iboni King Bayosi, Father. No matter what comes your way, the first thing you want to say, what has God said about this? That's when you can go ahead to make a request. If you haven't known what God has said, I'm not saying you are praying that God should speak to you. Just God's word you sit down. And say, Pastor, Shenkan, Bun Shenkan. Because, listen, prayer is saying to God what he has said. Prayer is not saying anything new. So, until you're able to say to God what God has said, you have a catalog of unanswered prayers. So, he will answer because he wants to honor his word. He's bound to honor his word. He's committed to honoring his word. What makes you to be able to stand before God is you know that God respects his word above his name. So, let me use the word. If I want to use something colloquial, because you can say, God, this is what you promise. And we stay on what God has promised until God honors it. You don't stay on something else. You don't talk about something else. You remember what the Bible says about the importunate woman, isn't it? He will go in the morning. What he said, did you see that story? You know that number one, he did not change his the woman did not change her request. Number two, you see that the woman did not go through any other person. In other words, each morning is the same voice the wicked judge was hearing. He did not hear the same request from a female voice day one, and hear the same request from a male voice day two. No, it's the same request from the same voice on a daily basis. So the woman was specific. She knew what she wanted. And she did not go through any other. She knows that if I stay on this request, troubling the wicked man. You know that's what the Bible says it. A wicked judge. That's why God was saying that. If a wicked judge will answer an importunate woman, then what about me, your father? So we answer in honor of his word. And we answer to bring glory to himself. And we answer for Jesus' sake. Even though we are the beneficiaries, but we are not the reason. Let me round up on this. See that same verse that I'm expounding to you. When the Bible says you pray in the name of Jesus. Now look at me. Hebrews chapter 3. He calls Jesus our high priest. Now you see in the Bible, the high priest, what they do is they will go into the Holy of Holies. The people will stay in the outer court. They will go and make sacrifice on behalf of the people. And then they come back to people and say, that's why Babalawo they got in their thing from. You don't know. You know what they tell you? When you go to meet them, they understand those of you that have been there. You know? You know they'll say, oh yeah, Eba Kinikan, so sorrow. Yeah, Eba Fani Bolum. Oh, brother, me tell you, I won't lose you, you know? Do you understand? Eba Fani Bolum. Then you two, you said, you will give you that. And then after that, you see that. You know? Now, when they are not done, you know that they like the high priest, when they come out, Babalawo to say, ah, Edupe o, Ebo wati ba, Adupe, oh man, in terms of one, the high priest, they will go. The people will stay outside. They couldn't. They were afraid to go. They couldn't stand before God. They couldn't talk to God. So it's the high priest that will go on their behalf. So Hebrews 3 said, Jesus has become our high priest. He's the one that goes to God on our behalf. So you look at me. Okay, Tolakon, you look at me. You need to get this. You see, if you got this, prayer will be sweet. What happened is, in prayer, she's short. Oh, yeah, come. So, you stayed there. You come. Okay, so you stayed behind me. Good. Good. You know that you can't see her. Now, I'm blocking her. Jesus, I'm Jesus now, is our high priest. I've given you an example of the earthly high priest. Now, this is what Jesus, this is what he does. Because, okay, so that's the person say, let me read Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Let's see Hebrews. Hebrews 3, to 3 to start with. It talks about, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I will teach, I will finish this. I can preach this 1 hour, but I will give you summary, we go. The high priest of our profession. Now, if you carry some other translation of the Bible, it is the high priest of our confession. Do you understand? So, I've said this to you before. If you've been with me for a while, I've said to us that the profession of a Christian is confession. Did you get that? All that a Christian has come to do in the kingdom, there's nothing. Hello, somebody. There's nothing you've come to do as a believer. Salvation has been made. Blessings have been made. You are not coming to do anything. It's like, come to the table. Did you get that? You are not going to do anything for your salvation. You are not going to do anything for whatsoever. For all things that pertain to life and godliness has even been given to you. It's in your heart. So, kill and shave your molong. Therefore, the assignment of a Christian is to profess and confess the things that God has said about you. See, Jesus will come. That's what a Christian should be doing. That's what we do in prayer. And so, he is the high priest. You need to get this before we go home. He is the high priest of our profession. And don't forget that our profession is confession. So look at me. Oh, let me read another passage before I will explain it. See Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7:24. But this man, because he continued ever at an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to say them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now see the last clause. See, he ever liveth. That's the only thing Jesus is doing now. He ever liveth to make intercession. Now, let me tie all those things together. I think Lolly, I can share. This is a believer. Do you understand that? So, the profession of this believer is confession. Can you remember Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1? So, he brings to Jesus his confession. Do you understand? The cattle on 1,000, he belongs to the Lord. That is his confession. And that's what he continues to say. None shall be barren in the land. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Every thorn that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. I know all things because I have the mind of Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That is his profession, confession. So, Jesus is the high priest of that confession. What the high priest does is, I carry, do you understand? That confession. Do you understand? He's handed over that thing to me. You know why? Because he's making that confession in my name. So in other words, I'm bearing the responsibility of this believer. So, when I go before God, is God seeing this believer any longer? God is seeing me. God is seeing Jesus Christ. So, this believer, oh, Rolapa, oh, Rolese, Ale Kunfu, Eshe, O Kunfu, Iranu. God is not seeing this believer. That is the dangerous part of Christianity. When you teach this, somebody says, he's giving permission for sin. No, I'm just teaching the Bible. He's not seeing this believer. You know that this believer actually can relate with Jesus because he's been born again. Do you understand that? So, I'm carrying this. And I'm taking it. Now, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil will now say that, God, can you see that believer that he doesn't pray? Or he has not fasted on Tuesday. And say, that believer, ole ni ole, igaro loshan. Now, those accusations are right. But when the high priest carries that confession, unfortunately for the devil, God is not seeing all this thing you are seeing. God is seeing Jesus Christ. And God says to Jesus, I said, Jesus, but can you hear what the devil is saying? The devil is right too. You know what Jesus will say? He said, I've come to you based on the blood that was shed and my body that was broken. And Jesus and God will know, remember, that actually the blood was shed for the remission of sin and the body was broken. Do you understand that? For the healing of this believer. On Sunday, I'll be teaching you what salvation is. Salvation comes from the word sozo. And sozo has about 10 different meanings. So everything is in that blood that was shed. So each time a believer goes to God through Jesus Christ, God is not seeing that believer. God is seeing Jesus Christ. God is considering the blood that was shed and considering the body that was broken. God is considering the cross and not the believer. And that is why that prayer will be answered. No longer because of this believer. God is not looking at the believer. You know what the Bible has said, even in Colossians, my life is hid in God. And God, do you understand? My life is hid in Christ. And Christ is in God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the intercessor, the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah, somebody. And so, that is the basis on which God answers prayer. If you add that understanding, communication with God becomes easier. All the accusation, counter accusation, you know, why you have to fast 8 days. All those things have their places. So how song Baba Debeo? Do you understand that? But ladies and gentlemen, my assignment is to preach God's word with simplicity. Teach you to have an understanding. That's what I've done tonight. God answers because of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our time is gone. I'm sorry I took about 5 minutes. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus. The love of God the Father. Sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. With us now forevermore. In Jesus' name, the saints of God say,